Come on, say he can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Welcome to the Hour of Hope and God's Favor, a radio broadcast of Gospel Ambassadors Church with its headquarters at Patase in Kumasi. We believe that as you listen to the anointed teachings of God's servant, Reverend Ebenezer Yamua Gansa, the General Overseer, your life will be supernaturally transformed as you receive the Word of God with faith. Shall we now listen to the Word of God?
In the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We bless you for your word, which enlightens us as we go into your word concerning this important topic of spiritual warfare. May your hand be upon your servant to minister your word to your people of God. Let your word come out with clarity. Let the testimonies and everything they hear be meaningful to them, that your people will be strengthened, that victory will come to your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We go into the Word of God concerning this important topic of spiritual warfare. I've shared with you why I'm teaching on this topic. I was looking at people, the challenges in the lives of some of the children of God. I know the problem of their praying and not getting results and so on and so forth. And how the Lord spoke to me that I should teach his people spiritual warfare and engage in it on their behalf myself. So I've been engaged in spiritual warfare, and I'm teaching you on spiritual warfare that you stand on your feet and see the glory of God. When I was sharing with you the last time, I said that when God was taking Israel into their inheritance, the time came that God spoke to them clearly, rise up, take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I've given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee.
You are listening to Reverend Gansa teaching.
I began from that scripture and I explained to you certain strange things that I've seen in the lives of people. Some of them didn't look spiritual at all, but as soon as you begin to pray with them, as you approach them, spiritual things manifest. I've seen diseases that doctors have given all the reasons under the sun about them, yet they couldn't cure them, and they came before me and the power of God hit them and healed them. I'm not a healer. God heals. And when people receive his word concerning healing, breakthroughs happen. I shared with you some examples, or an example of somebody I knew whose husband lived in America, wanted to come and pick it, did everything possible within his means to get this woman over, and it wasn't possible. Finally, somebody impregnated this woman down here in Ghana, humiliated. She got so humiliated, the marriage naturally was dissolved. And I gave you the example of Paul, the apostle himself, trying to travel to Thessalonica or Europe to minister the gospel there. And he said he did it not once, but in all cases, Satan hindered them. So even in travel, the enemy can rise up against you and hinder you. Somebody will say, if he hindered Paul, then who am I? Well, Paul was a human being like you. I don't believe that the devil continued to hinder him all over. At the time he was writing, the devil had hindered him twice or more than once on his effort to go to Thessalonica. But I believe he got the victory over them, over the forces in the long run. Sometimes spiritual warfare is like that. Hallelujah. You see, the Bible reveals that the world in which we live operates under a double kingdom system. This world operates under a double kingdom system. What do I mean by that? That behind the kingdoms of this world, there are the spiritual equivalents which influence the visible world in which we live. The dominion God gave to Adam over the earth and his creation in the beginning, in the garden, wasn't only in the natural, but also in the spiritual. And the spiritual one was the more powerful one of the two. When the Bible declared in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 that God created thrones, dominions, principalities, he was not only talking about visible things, but also invisible or spiritual ones. For by, the Bible says in Colossians 1, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Hallelujah. You see, so God is speaking about visible things and invisible things. He was speaking about visible thrones and invisible thrones, visible principalities and invisible principalities and powers. It says all things were created by him. In the beginning, when God created all these things, he gave that dominion to Adam in the garden. But when Adam fell and listened to the voice of the enemy and obeyed him, he became a servant to the enemy. The Bible says, the one to whom you yield yourself, his servant you shall be. So Adam, by obeying the devil, yielded himself to the devil and became his servant and lost that spiritual authority over this earth and over our world. Hallelujah. We see in the book of Daniel chapter 10, as Daniel was praying and fasting, the Bible says that he fasted for 21 days. Then on the 21st day, as he prayed, he had a vision. An angel appeared to him. And the angel said, in Daniel chapter 10 verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Hallelujah. Now, this was Daniel fasting and praying for 21 days. Fasting and praying for 21 days. And he was praying for a breakthrough to get an answer to something he was praying about. On the 21st day of his fasting and praying, this angel appeared to him and said, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words. From the very first day of his fast and his prayer, his words were heard. God released the angel to bring him the answer. But the angel went ahead and said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. In other words, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood this angel for 21 days. For 21 days. If the prince of the kingdom of Persia was a human prince, a human ruler of the realm of Persia, could he have faced the weakest angel? No. Hallelujah. But the Bible said the prince of the kingdom of Persia, that was the spirit that controlled the throne and the dominion of Persia, he withstood this angel for 21 days until, as Daniel persevered in prayer and in fasting, the Bible said, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, that is in the realms of God, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So for the 21 days, the angel had not returned. He was fighting his way, trying to come through to Daniel and bring him the results. Daniel didn't know this. This was something that was happening spiritually, until the angel told Daniel. Daniel had no idea that the simple prayer and fasting that he was carrying out has ignited some serious warfare in the realms of the spirit. An angel had been sent to bring him results, and a demonic force, strong demonic force, and his cohort had risen up. So and said, and I remained, the angel said, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So the prince of Persia and the kings of Persia, in other words, those under him, other principalities under him ruling the realm of Persia, had hindered the angel from bringing the results to Daniel. And he said, until God sent the angel Michael to come in, he described him as one of the chief princes among the angels, one of the chief angels came in to help him, and he escaped and he came. And if you read on, if you are conversant with this, you'll find out that he said, even after that, he was going to go back into the warfare because it was still raging. And he said, after that, the prince over the territory of Greece will also come and get engaged in this whole thing. Hallelujah. So it tells you that Persia had its human king and realm, natural realm. But behind that realm, there was a prince over the kingdom of Persia. He also had what here Daniel calls king, the angel told the kings of Persia. Well, with him, the various territories of Persia had their spiritual kings over them, and this principality ruled over them, and they ruled over the land, and they influenced the land. So Daniel, being more or less a captive taken to Persia at that time, the realm of Persia at that time, you know, had to be under this influence, and they hindered his prayer. Hallelujah. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, after God has sent Moses into Egypt to go and deliver his people, there was a strong opposition from Pharaoh and his magicians. But the final night, when God was bringing them down and giving them the final breakthrough for his people to leave.
You are listening to Reverend Gansett.
The Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, that for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, this was God speaking to Moses. He said he will pass through the land of Egypt that night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. You see, God, and Moses had contended with Pharaoh, and God was now going to deliver his people, the final act that will deliver his people. But he said he will pass through the land. That act was going to be an act of judgment over Pharaoh and his people for the treatment he had given to his people, the Israelites, and the position he had given to his servant Moses in releasing the Israelites who had served them for 400 years. The position that they had given him and all that. The gods of the land of Egypt were behind these things, activating those things. And so God said before he delivered his people, he will execute judgment on Pharaoh and his people and upon all the gods of the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. So the land of Egypt had Pharaoh as a ruler, but behind Pharaoh's throne were gods and demonic forces that were there standing and engineering things in the land. Hallelujah. You see, all these things are proof that behind our natural world, there is another world that operates that has influence over these, over ours. You see, but one of the most dramatic scriptural references or one can come across in the Bible is what I'm going to read to you. In the book of Matthew chapter 4 verses 8 to 9, Jesus Christ had finished his 40-day fast and he was very hungry at that time because he had eaten nothing. And as he was ending the fast, and the devil, the Bible says he came to tempt him. The devil came to tempt him. He brought three temptations. I believe everybody conversant with the Bible knows that Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil at the end of his 40 days and 40 night fast. But in one of the temptations, Matthew chapter 4 verse 8 to 9 says, and the devil taking him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now listen to it. Again, the devil taketh him up into an high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So here the Bible says the devil took Jesus Christ to a very exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now in the book of Luke chapter 5, the same temptation is recorded there, but something Luke throws a little bit of light on it. I want you to look at it, and then we talk about it. And the devil taking him up into an high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That is what I want you to notice. In a moment of time, the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Matthew records that he showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glories of them, the kingdoms of this world and the glories of them in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. And if thou therefore will worship me, it shall be thine. Now, I want you to ponder over this scripture.
You are listening to Reverend Gansa teaching.
There is no physical, geographical mountain anywhere in the world that one can stand upon and see all the kingdoms of the world, particularly in a moment of time. One, the human eye cannot see that far. Two, the shape of the earth itself cannot make it possible for somebody to stand on a particular mountain and see all the kingdoms or the nations of this world, particularly in a moment of time. So what is the Bible saying? Is this saying something stupid? No. The devil took Jesus Christ into a very high mountain, but it wasn't a physical, geographical mountain. It was a spiritual mountain. And the Bible says he showed him all the kingdoms of this world. He showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glories of them. The kingdoms of this world and the glories of them. That is what God delivered to Adam, the whole world and its glories, the kingdoms and everything. So when the Bible talks about God creating thrones and dominions and principalities and so on and so forth, this is what he was talking about. The power, the authority God gave to Adam wasn't only in the natural, but was also in the spiritual. So when Adam sinned, the devil says that God gave all this to Adam. Now the devil comes and he says that that has been delivered unto me. God gave it to Adam. Now the devil was saying it had been delivered unto him. So God gave it to Adam. Adam delivered it to the devil by his disobedience to the word of God and submitting to Satan's voice. But in these scriptures that we have read, it is obvious that the kingdoms of this world have some glory attached to them. It is also obvious that the devil has power to influence who has authority over a particular kingdom and to rule over that kingdom. He said he can give a kingdom to you. He can give a territory to you to rule from the realms of the spirit. That Satan declared that that authority had been delivered to him. Who delivered it to him? It was Adam. So it is obvious that Satan will give this thing to people on his terms. And he was telling Jesus Christ in that encounter that if you bow and worship me, I'll give everything to you, the whole earth and the dominion over it. Hallelujah. I will give you the whole earth and the dominion over it, the power to rule the whole earth. Now, Jesus didn't tell him that you are a liar, that you don't have that authority, that power to do that. He didn't say that because Jesus knew it was right. It was true. But he refused to bow and submit to that. That is why God said to Moses that I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborns in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. There are spiritual forces over nations, over cities, over territories that rule and cause havoc and cause destruction. So you find out in the Bible that wherever God wanted to judge a nation, he will not judge only the king and his people. He will also judge the rulers, the spiritual rulers of that territory. Hallelujah. So we read in the book of Isaiah chapter 14 about the throne of Babylon in Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 4 downwards. It talks about the physical or the human ruler over Babylon at that time. From verse 4 to 11, it talks about the human ruler at that time, his wickedness, his ruthlessness, and his oppression. But from verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 14, it talks about the spirit that was behind this king and his throne. So the Bible says from verse 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which this weaken the nations? You know, behind this king who weakened the nations humanly, warring with them, bringing nations under captivity, destroying cities and towns and nations and so on and so forth, was this principality, Lucifer, who was behind his throne, empowering the king and imputing his attribute to him, making him very oppressive. And if you go on to read, it talks about the day Lucifer will be judged and people will look at him and they will be surprised. They will say, is this the one that made the earth to tremble, that opened up the doors of his prisoners, that made the world, the cities as wilderness? You read onwards and you see all those things there. This spirit, oppressive spirit, was behind the throne of Babylon and was oppressing nations through the ruler of Babylon. You come to Tyros in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 1 to 10. The Bible speaks about the human ruler over the kingdom of Tyros. And the Bible says that he ruled, saw himself even as a god. He saw that he was very, very mighty, very rich, and he saw that by his wisdom, great wisdom, he had become prosperous, made his nation prosperous, and so on and so forth. And God said he was going to bring judgment against him. And when he had been brought down and was being slain by another king, another nation, at that time he realized that he wasn't a god after all. So God said that to the king, human king of Tyros. He sent his prophet Ezekiel to deliver that message to him. But you read from verse 11, and God speaks about his judgment upon the spirit that was also behind this king, that made him feel so rich, so proud, and even saw himself more or less as a god. So from verse 11, the Bible says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealed up the psalm, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrels and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Hallelujah. Here, you see that from verse 11, God is talking about another ruler over Tyrus, a spiritual ruler, because the Bible says that he was created, this ruler was created as a covering cherub, a cherub before the throne of God, right close to the throne of God. He had been in the Garden of Eden. Obviously, the king of Tyrus couldn't have been in the Garden of Eden, you know, and lived at the time of Ezekiel. No, he couldn't have lived for those thousands of years. And God said, this ruler over Tyrus had been in the Garden of Eden. Every precious stone was his covering. In other words, his garments was made of precious stone. Started with precious stone, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of his tabrets and of his pipes were prepared in him in the day that he was created. In other words, God created this specific cherub or angel in a special way to be close to his throne. He beautified him. He made him so special. He gave him musical abilities. He didn't need to have musical instruments. They were all planted within him, and he could just produce music like that. And he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covered. He was such a special cherub, very close to God. He said, I have said thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways until the day thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. And he went ahead and said, O covering cherub. Now, if you know the scriptures, you know God was describing Lucifer. Lucifer was that beautiful, was so clothed like that, was so musically talented, and he was there in the presence of God to lead worship and praise and other things. But the Bible says his heart was lifted up. And when God cast him off, one of the things he did was to be behind the throne of Tyrus at a particular time in history and influence the king, made the king so rich and so powerful, and made him think he was even a human being. There is a double kingdom system in the world we live. And that's how demonic influences have power to influence and to do things in the lives of people. God bless you as you begin to understand these things, as you take in these principles, you come to the place where with authority you rule over the principalities, you rule over the powers of darkness, and you are more than a conqueror. God be with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you for staying through to the end of today's broadcast. We believe you have been blessed and ministered to by God's word. Gospel Ambassadors Church is a Bible-believing church where the power and presence of God is abundantly manifested through anointed teaching and preaching of God's word, with diverse kinds of healings, deliverances, and supernatural breakthroughs. We would like to invite you to join us fellowship. We meet every Sunday from 7 to 10 a.m. and on Wednesdays for a powerful midweek service from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. We are located on the Patasi Edunazi Road, adjacent to the police depot. For prayer and counseling and any other interaction, you can reach us on the line 020-233-6722. 020-233-6722.
You can also follow us and like us on Facebook at Gospel Ambassadors Church, or visit our website at www.gospelambassadorschurch.com. Join us the same time tomorrow. God richly bless you.